today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Meantime, right here, we're engulfed in our world as our world is on fire with evil. And evil comes also from your free will and my free will. One way that we're like God in His image is that we can choose. We can have a free will. And therefore, evil comes through the tongue, James tells us. 1 Timothy tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. We certainly understand that. We're engulfed in our world as our world is on fire with evil. And evil comes also from your free will and my free will.
The truth is, you have to recognize the devil's lies to stand against them. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Evil is a Four-Letter Word, and explores the role the devil plays in the evil around us. Find out how to spot the enemy's lies so you can resist his attacks. That's coming right up next. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a powerful resource from Dr. Young called Unmasking Evil. This timely sermon series shines a light on the evil and suffering you see around you today and exposes the lies our culture believes that actually wreck people's lives. As you learn from God's Word where evil comes from and how it works, you'll be equipped to stand against evil in your own life and in our culture. We'll send you this five-message series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request Unmasking Evil when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Evil is a Four-Letter Word, Part 2.
How did that snake get in the Garden of Eden? I want to ask you that. Where did that snake come from? We know what happened in the garden. Magnificent story. The snake comes, beautiful, beguiling, crafty little creature. Man, he comes there with sweetness and light and violins were playing. And he says, you know, as God said, you can't eat of that fruit. Why, you will be like God and you'll have knowledge of good and evil. Let me ask you a question. If someone or something came to you and said, you'll be like God and you'll have increased knowledge. Do you want to do it? Absolutely. Bring out the fruit. Right? Sure. Every one of us. Hey, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to have more knowledge. Let's eat. You see, the problem with that, in order to get to the be like God, in order to get to the knowledge, you had to disobey God in His one little requirement there in the garden. You can eat all these hundreds of fruit trees. You have all this at your disposal. You have dominion. But except one tree. Just one tree. That's all. Just one. You see, when we disobey God in the fundamental premise up front, that doesn't open the avenue to other things. Oh, no, no, that's what the mistake was. But we got to ask, where did that snake come from? You say, that's the devil. Where did the devil come from? There are only three possible views of explaining Satan, the devil, Lucifer, only three. Number one, it's not real. Evil's not real. Most Eastern religions will tell you evil is not real. That's their basic theology, their basic philosophy. Evil's not real. Others would pick up that idea of the devil from what we've read or heard about in literature. You have, way back in the 14th century, you have The Inferno. Dante wrote The Inferno about hell and evils and demons. And a lot of us have just picked that up culturally. We don't remember reading it. Maybe not. We just sort of picked up The Inferno and all. That's sort of our understanding of devil and evil. Others in the 17th century were more familiar with John Milton. Milton, Paradise Lost, Paradise Regained. And it is more biblical. The Inferno is basically you get there by works or you stay out by lack of works. Milton sort of brings it into vogue, and he presents a wonderful theory that's not thoroughgoingly biblical, but it makes an idea that why did Satan rebel? Milton says because of jealousy when God created human beings who also were free moral agents as he was, and they could procreate, and human beings were higher than Lucifer, who was God's number one angel at that time. So we get all of that from Milton. That's picked up in our culture. And we move on into the 18th century. We have Goethe there. He writes about Frost, and Frost sort of deals with the devil. It becomes rather humorous, and we pick up more insight from there. But basically, a lot of people say, as far as the devil is concerned, man, it's not a red suit and horns and a pitchfork and clothing. The devil is really not real. It's some middle-aged contraption for people to explain away man's inhumanity to man. The devil's not real. That's one view of the devil. The second view is a dualistic view that there has existed throughout all eternity the kingdom of the devil and the kingdom of God, and they're juxtaposed to one another. The view of dualism, that's a second interpretation of the devil. He's been eternal, timeless, as is God. That's the second view. The third view, and there are only three, is a biblical view. And that is that the devil was an angel, the highest angel in the hierarchy of Almighty God, Lucifer, the angel of light. And we read about his fall and what he did. And we may need to start with Jesus. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 10, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. When did Jesus see that? In prehistory, in the invisible world, Jesus saw Satan fall from his lofty position. And we read snippets of this and understand it all the way through the scripture. Ezekiel chapter 47, we read in there about Satan and about his fall. And it says that what was his position with God? He was in charge of the cherubim, says Donald Gray Barnhouse. In other words, he was the minister of music. What a tremendous position to lead the angels of heaven, those who've gone on before us, our family, in praise and glory and honor and exaltation. We can't even understand that. We have no capacity for the beauty and the magnificence of that. That was Lucifer's position in heaven. He was the worship leader. What a position. I'll be without a job, but worship leaders will be everywhere. That was his role. And then we move on and we read in Isaiah something of the motivation of Satan, and that is so interesting to me. And there are other passages. He says, Isaiah chapter number 14, verse 12, how have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, Lucifer? Son of the dawn, you have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, this is Lucifer, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But nevertheless, you will be thrust into Sheol, into hell, to the recesses of the pit. What was he saying? The devil saying, I want to be and I am omni. I'm omni. That means all. But he wasn't. That was his goal. That was his motivation. He wanted to be omnipresent, all present everywhere. The devil is not omnipresent, ladies and gentlemen. He wants us to believe that. He could be only one place. He can't be in Chicago and be in New York at the same time. No, no, no. He's not omnipresent. No, he's not omni. His emissaries, his demons certainly can be in the invisible world, and that's very real. But he's not omni. He wanted to be omni. He wanted to be omniscient. He wanted to know everything. I'm all knowing. No, he's not omniscient. Certainly, he prepared and worked in the cynical, demonic mind of Lee Harvey Oswald before he assassinated President Kennedy. But I am sure that was a part of it. But he was omniscient. He did not know that would take place. The devil did not know that. He may have set it up and used it with demonic forces. We do not know. But he did not know it would literally take place. He is not all-knowing. Limitation there. He is not omnipotent. He's not certainly not all-powerful. He cannot speak and it is done, but he wants to appear to be all-powerful and he's not. God has him in a very limited corral, this supernatural fallen angel, this demonic angel. Now, and we look at Revelation chapter number 12 and we see Michael the angel and we see the ultimate outcome and destiny and doom of Satan. But meantime, right here, we're engulfed in our world as our world is on fire with evil. And evil comes also from your free will and my free will. One way that we're like God in his image is that we can choose. We can have a free will. And therefore, evil comes through the tongue, James tells us. 1 Timothy tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. We certainly understand that. And we know that our heart in Matthew 15, our heart is depraved. Augustine said it magnificently, Augustine, if you're a scholar, that there's sort of a God-shaped place in our hearts and our lives. We try to put everything in there. But the only thing that fits and fills that hole is God Almighty and Jesus Christ. So evil comes in these forms. The fallen angel, demonic world. We know just a little bit about it. But we know our own free choices that we make and how he has entrees and footholds and avenues in your life and in my life. And we know then we ask the question, we see what is evil and we talk about where did evil come from. Then we ask, what does evil look like? Let's look at the names of evil. That'll help us. We'll be going through this in our study many times. The word Satan means adversary. You can be sure if you're seeking to walk in the will of God, the plan of God, you're going to have an opponent. You're going to have an adversary. One of the saddest things now in American history, current history, is that we, for now, several years, have refused to name our enemy, which is terrorism. That is important. You have to know your enemy, and as Satan is our adversary, so the terrorists around the world are our adversaries. Slander. Also, it means slanderer. He lies about you. How does he slander us? I'm convicted of a sin, and Satan says, there you are again, Edwin. Man, you've confessed that sin. Man, that anger, that, oh, me, God's not going to forgive you. You're not even a Christian. And he's always slandering you and me before the Lord God Almighty. He is a slanderer. He's a liar. We'll deal with that in our study. Lucifer means shining one. Satan can come with a Bible in his hands, with a crucifix around his neck. As beauty, as someone who quotes scripture. Oh, yes. If he came in that red suit, we'd get it. But he comes as the shining one of information and of light. Also, Beelzebub, we'll deal with that. Lord of the flies, garbage, evil. Oh, all different shades do we have it. Belial means a false god. You know the number one false god in our culture? Hedonism, pleasure, that's who our God is. We said, well, God wants to have life abundantly. That doesn't mean that life is all about pleasure. Pleasure, pleasure, racket, pleasure, going, pleasure. That's our idol of the 21st century. Make no mistake about it. Yours and mine, that's a big problem we have. Citadel of evil. The evil one, Oh, that's another name he goes by. The tempter. Oh, how he tempts us so subtly. Oh, this won't hurt. Just one time. Everybody's doing it. It's a part of the culture. It's not against the law. The tempter. How skillful. How skillful. How sly. How brilliant. How premeditative. The tempter. Oh, yeah. The prince of the world. Oh, this is the world. I mean, this is the way you live. You've got to enjoy life. You've got to have this. You've got to go there. Man, the prince of the world. The accuser of the brethren. Man, those other Christians, I'll tell you, that church is filled with hypocrites out there. It certainly is, folks. Join us. Oh, the hypocrites at the church. This helps us identify it. Now let me move in Barracuda waters. We're going to be dealing with the marketing of evil. The marketing of evil. How evil has been marketed in the family, we'll deal with that specifically next time we gather. How evil has been marketed in the business world, we'll see that. How evil has been marketed in the political world, we'll see that. How evil has been marketed successfully. Evil has been taken, it's been packaged, it's been perfumed, it's put a ribbon on top of it, and sadly, most of us have bought into it, and some of us don't even realize it. And you have the pseudo-intellectual and the elite and the left wing has said, look, they have sold us garbage. And they have presented to us under auspices of freedom and tolerance and openness, which are big words in Christianity and in our American culture, is it not? You go to Egypt. In Egypt, there are literally thousands of children on the street. Thousands of children all over. They do not have names given. They do not know who their mother is, their dad is. They have no way of identification. They're just street kids. Thousands of them. Thousands of them. Throwaways. There for all kinds of reasons. All over the streets. The Egyptians consider every one of those children Muslims. Those are in a Muslim culture, if they have any form of education, it is in a Muslim understanding of the world and a Muslim doctrine, the Muslim teaching, they're considered to be Muslims. How wild is that? Here are just children running around and they're all counting the population of Egypt. They're considered to be Muslim because the whole culture, the whole environment there is based on Muslim principles and Muslim thinking. That's the children on the street. Come to America. Draw a line. The second your sons, your daughter, you enter into any public school, kindergarten through high school, through college, through university, any public school, you have entered the religion of humanism. God is not allowed in the premises. Now, let me say up front, I thank God for administrators and educators and Christian teachers at public schools because they are limited, but they are our salt and our light and our hope in public education. And I thank God for their calling. But they will tell you they can't bring God into that classroom or into that school, and you'd better not mention the Bible. So as in Egypt, hey, they're Muslim. As in America, we're teaching without God humanism. You see, this has been marketed. This has been a part of where we are. In Tennessee, this past Thursday in Tennessee, little town 80 miles from Memphis, they've had a public school there, and a senior, a girl who was a senior in this school, someone sneezed in class and she said, bless you. Now, she didn't say, God bless you. She just said, bless you. And the teacher immediately said to her, we're not having this God talk in this school. She said, look, is there such a thing as freedom of speech, freedom of religion? I just said, bless you. I didn't say God. She said, don't say that. And she suspended her in the school for the rest of the day. A friend spoke out in her defense, and she was sent to the principal. Now, you say, that's an extreme, it's overdrawn, it certainly is, but that is where we are in our world. Now, what do? Lyndon Johnson, who did some wonderful things in his civil rights legislation, I wish he thought it from a pure motive, and I would question that, because other than that, I think Lyndon Johnson was perhaps the most corrupt, evil president who's ever occupied the White House, without any exception. Lyndon Johnson, if you don't believe that, read his biography by Cairo. It's 4 or 5 volumes. When you get through with that, talk to me. Until then, don't debate me on that one. I've read all of it. Lyndon Johnson, advising young elective representatives, said this. He said, guys, keep everything fuzzy. He said, don't ever sign your name to something. He said, don't write anything down. He said, avoid that at all costs. He said, instead of writing anything down or signing your name to make that kind of commitment, he said, talk about it. You know, just talk. He said, talk over here, talk over there. He said, just talk, talk, talk. Just spin, talk. You know, he said, that's the way to do it. That's the way you handle it. You don't get yourself cornered and pinned in and have to make a commitment you're sorry you made. Just talk about it. He said, better yet, not only don't sign anything, don't write anything down. He said, don't even talk about it. He said, all you have to do is just nod. See, y'all think, I agree with you. No, no, I agree with you. He said, just nod. He said, that's probably enough. He said, even avoid nodding if you can. He said, better that, just wink. He said, that's all you need to do. He said, yeah, they'll go along, boy. He's on my side. He's really made a commitment. This is what we're doing in the church, ladies and gentlemen. We go out in the world, and a lot of men who will argue with you about who's going to win that game on Saturday or Sunday by their team? You talk about God and Christ in the marketplace and big, strong men, they'll back up and you'd think you ought to ask, what is your maiden name? Stand up humbly, quietly, intelligently, firmly. This is who I am and this is what I believe about life and a world, about evil which surrounds us. Where do we go from here? Do it with me. Surrender to God. We have the power to fight the devil. He runs from us. Then we draw near to God. He draws near to us, and we have clean hands and a pure heart, and we're humble, and in his economy, he will exalt his children.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful series by Dr. Young. It's called Unmasking Evil, and he created it to help you face the evil in our culture in a uniquely Christian way by resting in the assurance of God's love for you and the ultimate defeat of evil through the cross. This 5-message series is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Unmasking Evil when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for tuning in today. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young concludes his message, Evil is a 4-letter word, and shows you how to spot the lies evil uses to destroy people's lives.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world.